The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 29th through Sunday, May 5th, 2024. The commentary for April was written by Lynn Frazier, a teacher, retired hospice palliative care chaplain, and avid recreational walker. A lifelong Episcopalian, Lynn attends St. Matthew's in Grand Junction, Colorado, where she has facilitated classes on the Psalms, the Parables, Civil Discourse, and Aging with Grace. The commentary for Monday, April 29th, begins with a passage from Psalm 56, verse 8. You have noted my lamentation, put my tears in your bottle, and are they not recorded in your book? Here's the commentary. We all have periods of lamentation, times when we feel deep sorrow and sadness. The impact of lament, especially after a serious loss, may result in tears, sometimes at unexpected times and inconvenient places. Despite what some in our culture suggest, tears of grief are evidence not of weakness, but of healing. It is essential to find healthy ways of expressing the feelings associated with deep sadness, and crying helps us do that. Some scientific studies have shown that emotional tears are different from other kinds of tears, such as the ones from an irritant like dust or peeling an onion. Emotional tears, including those associated with grief, contain different substances than some scientists say can help reduce pain and stress. The psalmist recognized the special character of the tears that result from our expressions of grief and sorrow. These tears are so important that God, aware of our sadness, puts them in a bottle for safekeeping. And now the full Psalm 56 for this day. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause, or their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they hope to have my life. So repay them for their crime. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 29th, which, by the way, is the day we celebrate St. Catherine of Siena. The question for this day is, how do you express sadness and sorrow? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, April 30th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 7a. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases. Growing up as the granddaughter of an Episcopal bishop, I treasured my times with him and my grandmother, especially the morning breakfasts when I visited their home. After we finished eating, the family remained at the table, and my grandfather read the day's meditation from forward day by day. We then all knelt on the floor beside our chairs and prayed together the Lord's Prayer from today's Gospel of Matthew, reading using the King James Version. I am grateful to finish this month of meditations by sharing that prayer with you and all the saints whom from their labors rest. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now I'm going to read for the Gospel today from Matthew. This is chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what special memories do you have of a family member or friend who has significantly impacted your spiritual life? Now the commentary for Wednesday, May 1st. This is the day on which we celebrate the feast day of St. Philip and St. James. We begin with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." St. Philip and St. James were two of the least exciting and memorable disciples of the 12 named disciples of Jesus, important by virtue of their positions, but seemingly unremarkable. They lacked the bravado of Peter, the questioning of Thomas, or the antagonism of Judas. Scripture records Philip as dense and stubborn. Of the two disciples named James, the one we commemorate today is known as St. James the Less, which certainly wouldn't be my preference as an adjective. In my time as a parish priest, I have encountered many beloved, loyal saints in the vein of Philip and James. People who are not remarkable or splashy by the world's standards, whose best qualities may not be immediately evident, but whose quiet faithfulness and pursuit of God are unparalleled. While much of our culture rewards the unique and bombastic Philip and James, remind us of the gifts of humility and the common. Jesus saw greatness even in Philip and James, and he sees it in each of us as well. And the moving forward question for this day, well, I'll have that for you right after I read the full Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." And now the moving forward question, which is for this day, who are the humble servants in your community? Write a note of thanks for their steadfastness. And now that we have begun our commentary for the month of May 2024, I would like to tell you that the commentary for this month was written by Kira Austin Young, an Episcopal priest currently serving at the Episcopal Church of St. Mary the Virgin in San Francisco, though she also has roots in Texas and Tennessee. She is the author of Pro-Choice and Christian, Reconciling Faith, Politics, and Justice, and has been a contributing writer for other publications as well. Now back to the commentary for Thursday, May 2nd, the day on which we celebrate Athanasius of Alexandria. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 27. "And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" Here's the commentary. "I am by nature an anxious person, and I have been since my youth. I worry a lot, but in my defense, there is a lot to worry about. I worry about whether I and other people like me are doing enough. I worry about racism, climate change, gun violence, and the future of the institutional church. True to the Sermon on the Mount, all of that worrying has not added a single hour to my lifespan, but it probably has taken some off." Jesus acknowledges that there are definitely valid concerns to worry about, like where our next meal might come from, or how we might protect our bodies from the elements. When our earthly anxieties take over and subsume our spiritual life, that's when we are in trouble. Let us first pay attention to the state of our souls and our relationship with God, and we will find that our other worries and anxieties take care of themselves in due time. And I'm going to read from the Gospel today, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, what is alive, which is alive and today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And the moving forward suggestion for this Thursday, May 2nd, each time you begin to worry this week, say the Lord's Prayer or read a passage from Scripture. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, May 3rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. When I was a chaplain resident at a children's hospital, some of my most difficult cases involved the efficacy of prayer. I remember one family who had a child with a bad prognosis, and the parents were adamant that prayer would save that child, despite what the doctor was saying, while remaining open to the possibility of God's miraculous power. I also wanted to prepare the family for the possibility that what they were asking for in their prayers might not come to fruition. Today's reading from Matthew might lead us to believe that there is a one-to-one correspondence between what we ask for in prayer and what we receive. And far too many people's faith has been challenged when this does not occur. We cannot control the outcomes of our prayers, but I believe that in naming what we desire, God hears and responds to us. Better still, when we seek out God and ask for God's presence in our lives, that prayer is always answered. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone, or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 3rd is, when has an unanswered prayer been a blessing for you? And now the commentary for Saturday, May 4th, that begins with a passage from Leviticus chapter 23, verse 44. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed festivals of the Lord. As a Christian who follows the liturgical calendar, I love how it gives a rhythm to my years, seasons, weeks, and days. And I find that there's always another layer to discover. The seasons of the church year might be the most familiar, but there is even more depth if we drill down into feast days, commemorations, and even the cycles of the daily office. During the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic, I relied on these seasonal and liturgical shifts to help orient me to time. When many of the other external markers of time around me had ceased, the liturgical calendar marked the passage of time even outside of in-person worship. Through Moses, the Lord gives to the people of Israel their own liturgical calendar, times for observing rest, atonement, remembrance, and celebration. Leviticus is one of the more difficult books of the Bible for finding relevance to our contemporary lives, but in the giving of these festivals, I recognize the same sanctification of time as our liturgical calendar. And now I am going to read from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 44. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of complete rest, a holy convocation commemorated with trumpet blasts. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall not present the Lord's offering by fire." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now the tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall deny yourselves and present the Lord's offering by fire, and you shall do no work during that entire day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. For anyone who does not practice self-denial during that entire day shall be cut off from the people, and anyone who does any work during that entire day, such a one I will destroy from the midst of the people. You shall do no work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your settlements. It shall be to you a Sabbath of complete rest. And you shall deny yourselves on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and lasting 7 days, there shall be the festival of booths to the Lord. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not work at your occupations. 7 days you shall present the Lord's offerings by fire. On the eighth day you shall observe a holy convocation and present the Lord's offerings by fire. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not work at your occupations." These are the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you shall celebrate as times of holy convocation, for presenting to the Lord offerings by fire, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day. Apart from the Sabbaths of the Lord, and apart from your gifts, and apart from all your votive offerings, and apart from all your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. Now the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall keep the festival of the Lord, lasting 7 days, a complete rest on the first day, and a complete rest on the eighth day. On the first day you shall take the fruit of majestic trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a festival to the Lord 7 days in the year. You shall keep it in the seventh month as a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall live in booths for 7 days. all that are citizens in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed festivals of the Lord. And the moving forward question for this day, we're in the midst of the 50 days of Easter, a season for celebrating the risen Christ. How are you marking this season in your life? And we conclude this week and this program with the commentary for Sunday, May 5th, the sixth Sunday of Easter. It begins with a passage from John 15, verse 13. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. In much of our society, genealogical and marital relationships are prioritized over friendship or chosen family. Christianity has an alternative view of traditional family structures, and through our baptisms, we are reborn into the family of Christ, the Church. Today's gospel affirms the relational importance of friendship as Jesus tells the disciples that they are no longer servants, but friends. Of all the relationships that enrich my life, one of the most important is my relationship with my best friend. Though we are both married to other people, I call her my soulmate. Over the course of several decades, we have seen each other through many of life's joys and sorrows, marriages and divorces, family deaths, job transitions. She probably knows me better than I know myself. That Jesus calls the disciples, and by extension us, his friends, expresses a powerfully loving intimacy, a relationship of choice that he lives into by his death for us, the ones whom he calls friends. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 5th, who do you call friends? Call or text them and thank them for the gift of their friendship. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.